Because I was just thinking there while we were singing that, ain't it great to know? Ain't it great to know? You know, and that I just get so caught up on that, you know, just great to know. You know, there's many people who go in this life and they might think about something, or they might not be too sure about something, but I know 100% about what God did for me when He saved my soul. I know 100% that He saved me, and I know 100% beyond the shadow of a doubt where I'm going after this life is over. Ain't it just great to know something like that? And there's people who ask, they'll say, well, how can you know? God lets you know. Ain't you thankful that we serve a God who doesn't just leave us out wondering about where we might be, what we might think, but He lets us know where we stand with Him. And Sister Gail, I want to thank you for requesting that song. I really do, because while we was getting ready to go to church this morning, that song's just been on my heart and mind. Ain't it just great how God works? You know, I just love that part in the chorus. Until you've known God is really real, and you've known nothing. You know nothing. You know absolutely nothing about love and about life until God Himself reached down and saves you. And not just that, but oh, just how, you know, people will just, you know, people think this is a fairy tale, you know, that we do and preach and talk about. But it's the fact I'm able to know as the chorus, He's really real. He's not just real, but He's really real. I can feel His touch. Oh, ain't it great to feel the touch of God this morning? Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for what God done for me when He saved my soul. And I'm not just trusting on that to get me through this life. I'm trusting in it, and I'm sure that it'll see me through over yonder. I like how in Beulah Land, when we sing that song from time to time, in the second verse it says, I just have a few more days down to labor, but then my faith is going to end in sight. I've never seen my Lord. Oh, but one day I will. I've never seen that land, but one day I'll see it. Ain't it great to know what God did for you folks? Let's be glad and rejoice in what God's done for us. Does anybody else have anything on their hearts this morning? Follow the Lord. Anybody have anything on their hearts they want to say this morning, they want to praise the Lord for? Amen. 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 Anybody else have anything on their hearts this morning?
It's good to be back. We've been out for a while. We went on vacation and got sick. Everybody else and flu and COVID. I long battled with that. It lost your grandmother this past week. Yeah. So it's good to be back in church.
Amen.
I think one of Braden's friends, boss, colleague, passed away.
Lord help.
In the last day. So, get him in prayer.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I certainly do be prayerful for this family this morning. Anybody else have anything on their hearts? Praise, prayer requests, or anything they just feel like needs to be said or done? Yeah. Yeah. And still remember this request this morning. Anybody else have anything on their hearts? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's certainly remember Megan this morning and her family. Anybody else have anything on their heart? Yes, I certainly remember this request of the family this morning. Anybody else have anything on their hearts? God bless. Ain't it good that God knows our hearts and God knows our needs? Amen. Anybody else have anything on their hearts this morning? Sure does. God sure does. Amen. Now, I was actually listening to a song about that very thing. You know, there's an old English hymn. I believe William Cowper was the one who wrote it years ago. And it says, God moves in mysterious way. And I believe in the chorus there it says, God, give us eyes to see your smiling face that's hidden within the mystery. So God does move in mysterious ways for his purpose and for his honor and glory. So let's do be prayerful for this morning. Anybody else have anything on their hearts? Amen. 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 Today's another day that God has given them to seek out after him. Amen. Ain't it? Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. That ought to be the desire of all our hearts, ain't it, Brother Andy? You know. I tell you, God didn't give me this good feeling in my heart just to keep it within myself. I want others to experience it. You know, I love it when God, allows my cup to just fill up and run over a little bit and causes me to feel all bubbly and all good. But I'm thankful to see others rejoice in that. You know, and so that's what I want more than anything else is for people to know the same thing I know. And like that song says, to know that my God, he is really real. Amen. Let's still be prayerful for the lost this morning. Anybody else have anything on their hearts? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Because without it,
oh,
it makes life so much harder.
Oh, yes.
And unbearable sometimes. So I just want to give him praise for giving us salvation, for giving us a way out of all of this craziness.
Yes.
To know how everything matches each other and crisscrosses, and I just want to thank everyone for the prayers. So I didn't want to give up. I wanted to keep praying, but I also knew in my prayer that it was whatever God's will be done.
Yeah.
And His will was to take her home, so.
Yes.
Just again, I just really want to thank God for everything He does for us.
Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this praise this morning. I've often heard it said growing up that if somebody's basically on life support in the hospital and they're just bedridden, if they've been saved by the grace of God, it's better to ask for God's will to be done in that matter. And I know that's hard truth. That's honesty. Because if they've been saved by the grace of God, they've got a better place to go than just be bedridden. Oh, but yet if they're lost and undone, God give them every second on this earth that they might be able to call upon your name. Dying without God would just be miserable. Living without God is miserable, but dying without God would be 10 times worse. And my mind can't even fathom that. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Anything at all? You just feel like it needs to be said or done. Yes.
I know God is real. He's down into my soul. You know, I'm saved, and I'm just so happy that I am. But there's so many out there that's not, and it breaks my heart. I want to see everybody be saved.
Yes.
Because, like you said, when it, living without God, living here on earth, I just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it without Him. Grateful that He. He walks with me in every storm and every path that I take in life. And my Brandy and I have seen a lot in our time. And we're still going through hard times sometimes and storms. But the Lord lifts us up and carries us when we just have a burden that's so hard.
Yes.
And I'm just grateful that God hears our cries. God answers prayers. We just must believe.
Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this. Anybody else have anything on their hearts?
Brother Michael, remember our family in prayer, the sickness is from God.
Yes.
One that's not here.
Yes.
Brother that fight against him right now, I remember him.
Yes.
You know, people, most often we are.
Yes, amen. But certainly do remember the Edwards family and be prayerful for Brother Danny this morning and Daniel and all the others who are sick and afflicted. Let's be prayerful for Sister Treva's brother going through his cancer. And Sister Treva, am I correct in my understanding? Does he still profess to be lost? Or yes, let's certainly do be prayerful for him this morning. That God would just send conviction on his heart. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Amen. Amen. Certainly do need to be prayerful for this. As long as God's churches are still in existence, there is still a light that can shine bright in this world. We just need to let Him be on top of that and let Him have rule over His church. So let's be prayerful for this. Anybody else have anything on their hearts this morning? All right. Let's be prayerful for this. Anybody else? Yeah. Amen. Yes, it is.
Now, seeing the parking lot like it is, having people park behind people is exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just something we have to. I don't want to use the word suffer, but it's just something we're going to have to deal with temporarily.
Amen.
So, certainly thankful for this praise this morning. And believe, like I said in Sunday school, before Sunday school, you know, I think that's something worth praising God for as a church. Not technically the money part of it, but just the fact that God is faithful unto His people and God leads us along. Yeah. You know, if you're really following the hand of God, He won't lead you astray. So, certainly thankful for this. Anybody else have anything on their heart? Yeah.
Whenever he was in the presence of God, he couldn't look upon the God, but he could look upon his hind part.
Oh, yes.
Moses was just a man like all of us.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't any different. But he got to see the hind parts of God.
Yes.
And we can get that close.
Amen. Yes.
You know, the song that touched you, it was just evident to me that you were just reveling in the spirit that was washing over you, and I'm so thankful for that. Again, that's not just because his name's Michael Barker. It can happen to each and every one of us if we'll just allow
That's right.
It's so good to be here this morning. I am so thankful for having this opportunity. And if I don't get anything else out of the service, I can go away feeling fulfilled.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this morning. If we have the presence of God, that's all we need right there. That's all we need. Anybody else have anything on their hearts this morning? If not, then I do feel in our hearts to go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we go any further. I do feel heavy on my heart to ask everybody to come to the altar if you can, and let us call upon the name of the Lord this morning. We do need to be prayerful and mindful of the prayer requests that has been made mention of this morning. Be mindful and prayerful over those who are lost, that we might call upon God, that He would direct His Spirit into their hearts, that He would show them and let them know where they stand with Him. But above all, let us be just sensitive to the Spirit of God. You know, I can't ever say this enough. This isn't my service. This isn't your service. This is God's service. You know, so if the Spirit bids you to move or to talk to somebody or maybe to just stand up and sing or whatnot, be sensitive to the Spirit of God. God's got a purpose and behind it all. So let's be prayerful over this. Let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Scott, do you mind leading us?
Mark, do you feel like singing "It's So Peaceful"? I miss singing that song. And it is. It's peaceful.
Yes, it is.
Storm.
Does anybody else have anything on their hearts this morning? If you've been saved by the grace of God, we can proudly exclaim this morning that it is peaceful in the arms of God, ain't it? I'm so thankful for what He has given us. If nobody else has anything on their hearts, I'd like to turn to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. And unless the Lord leads our hearts differently, I'm going to read the first two verses there. Exodus 25, starting with verse 1. Says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. I'm going to stop right there for a few moments of time. And if you would, please bow your heads with us. Our most kind and gracious and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You once again. We're so thankful, Lord, for feeling what we have already felt this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for everything that You've given us. Thank You for that sweet peace that You bestow upon us. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word and the reading of it, God. We ask, Lord, that You would just bless it, Lord, that it'd be for our good and our benefit, and it'd be for Your honor and glory. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that You would just open up the hearts and minds of all that hear Your word this morning, Lord, that Your gospel seed would be planted, Lord, in their hearts. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that we all would just take heed to what You have given us in Your word. In Your Son's most precious holy name, we do pray and beg it all. Amen. The thought that has been given to us this morning would be willingly giving to God. Willingly giving to God. Now, we read or here in the book of Exodus in the 25th chapter, we are seeing that God is wanting the people of Israel to build themselves a tabernacle. And in this tabernacle, each and every person there, each and every Israelite, they are assigned a job, they're assigned a duty. For each and every place that they went, they carried the tabernacle with them. We don't see that God gave Himself a building to dwell within, to dwell there, up over until the book of Chronicles or the book of Kings, when He had commanded Solomon to build the temple. So at this time, God was trying to get the people prepared for a tabernacle. Why? Because God wanted to dwell among His people. But we read here in the 25th chapter that they were to bring an offering to God. Every single one of them, they were not only to bring an offering, but they were to bring a willing offering. Something that was free and something that they would be glad to give God in. Now I will say this before I go on. I'm so thankful for those that God has saved. You know, I love seeing people when they get filled up with the Lord. They say, well, I want to do this for God, or I want to do something for God. I love seeing that kind of attitude and desire in people's hearts. Because why wouldn't we want to do something for God? Why wouldn't we want to willingly do something for God? But now we read here in the Old Testament times, we read about how the prophets and those of old, they would gather together themselves an altar. And we read that when they would build the tabernacle, that they were to have an altar there And in that altar, they were to make sacrifices to God. The priest was to go into the holiest of holies, for he was the only one at that time who could go and make the offerings for the sins of the people of Israel. Now, there was a specific animal according to each sin that they had done to give for it to be sacrificed and offered to God. But see, I'm telling you this morning, I'm thankful that us as old-time Baptists, we still practice altar services. We might not bring in a physical sacrifice to God, but there are sacrifices that we give to God when we meet His condition. And you see, this morning, if you're lost and separated from God, I want you to know, and I'm not just talking about this altar, but I'm talking about also an altar that we can have deep within our hearts, where we just get it one-on-one and personal with God, giving up everything to God. And I want to tell you this, if you're lost and separated from God this morning, there are some sacrifices that you have to give to God. We read in Psalms 51, and I believe it's in verse 17, that the psalmist said, "The sacrifices of God are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit." Broken and crushed. We read in why the heart, we read in Strong's Concordance that the heart is where the will of man lies, the pride of man lies, and the passion of man lies. And you see this morning, to come before an all-holy God in the altar there, we have to give all of that up to Him. We have to give up ourselves. We have to give up some things that we might hold dear. And you might say, "Well, now, preacher, what are you getting at?" You see, we often, in our missionary Baptist or old-time Baptist ways, we often preach about salvation coming by repentance and faith. And I do agree with that, you see. But before we can have that repentance and the faith to seek after God, God must first reveal Himself to us. God must first tell us where we stand with Him this morning. You see, as we have read and as we see in the book of Romans, that the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God bears witness with the children of God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So His Spirit will bear witness and let you know whether you are a child of God or whether you are lost and undone. Now I will say this, if I could, before I go on. You know, we often use the terminology lost when we're talking about an individual who is not saved or born again by the grace of God. If you would, for a moment, just humor me, I'm going to use a different word for that this morning because I want it to be understandable and receptive. We read in the Barnes' commentaries that, and in the Webster's dictionary that word lost means perishing. Those who are perishing are those who are heading to perish. And this morning, if you are not saved by the grace of God, you are heading to perish. You see, we read about how there comes a time. Oh, there comes a time when we come before God that's appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. And we read in the how in the book of Revelation in the 22nd chapter there about those whose names were not found in the book of life. They were casted off into a lake of fire. You see, you are heading to perish this morning, a sinner friend. But you see, when God reveals Himself to you and lets you know where you stand with Him, there has to be a broken heart and a contrite spirit there. And it's up to us, for the people of God, that we pray that God would send down conviction on them. That conviction isn't just there to just make them feel bad, but that conviction is to let them know that they are sinners in need of a Savior. Amen. I like what I believe John Newton, who was the one who wrote the song Amazing Grace, he said, "I am a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior." It doesn't matter how far you might have fallen or how deep you are in your sin, how great a sinner you might be, but Christ Himself is a greater Savior. And the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. There's not a sin out there that God cannot forgive and God cannot save. There's not a sinner too low. There's not a sinner too beneath their weight of sin that God cannot save them. We read about there in the book of Acts how Paul was trying to minister unto the people there. And he talked about repentance, having repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, repentance, if you look at the dictionary form of it, people will say that it's, and theologians will say that it's just a change of mind. But I'm telling you this morning that it's not just a change of your carnal mind or your carnal way of thinking, but it is a change of heart, a change of your spirit, of your sin. We read in Isaiah 55 when Isaiah told the people of the warning there that they could come and they could drink of the waters. We read in Isaiah 55 that let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy unto him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Does that not sound like repentance? That the wicked would forsake their way, would forsake everything about them. You see, when God let me know when I was lost and separated, when I was perishing and I was going to a devil's hell, if I would die without Him, let me tell you something. I needed salvation more than anything else, you see. And I was looking in all the wrong places. I was trying to look towards my daddy, who I thought the sun and moon rested upon this man's shoulders. And you know what? Come to find out, when I looked at him and I said on that altar, and I said, "Dad, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to be saved." He said, "Son, I can't do anything for you, but all I can do is just pray for you. That's it." Do you realize how broken I felt in that moment? How the very man who I thought was tough as nails and as tough as could be, I thought the very man who I thought in my childish mind could do anything in the world, he yet then told me he could not save me. Why is that? Because He has nothing to do with my salvation. Only God can do with my salvation. He has nothing to do with me getting right with God. But it's down to me and God talking about it and wrestling about it and trying to get it right. That the wicked forsake his way, he had to turn everything. He has to turn everything over. We read in Jonah chapter 3 when Jonah came out of the belly of the fish's belly there, that he went to Nineveh and he said 40 days, and Nineveh will perish. And I And I'm sure I misquoted that as terrible as I could. But he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. Now, let me tell you this. I'm not trying to preach this morning just so I can hear myself. I try to preach with my very best what God gives me this morning. I don't know who needs to hear this, and that's okay. But you see, those few words that Jonah said with the power of God in behind it was enough to cause that whole city, that whole town of Nineveh to forget their wickedness and go to God. And that is the very exact same thing that you must do, sinner friend, is forget your wickedness, lay aside everything that you are, and turn to God. Well, I was really hoping a bunch of saved people would back me up on this. You see, this morning, Jonah, whenever he went and told people in Nineveh there. See, the king himself, he went and he turned himself and he put on sackcloth and he put on ashes. And that black sackcloth, man, that was to show a repentance. It was to show a need. It was to show a hurting there of being in the wrong. Folks, there's people who say that you need to accept Christ. And I'm telling you this morning, Christ needs to accept our petition this morning. He needs to accept our offering because He is the one, because of our sins, He is the one who was the offended party. Not us. We read in Jeremiah where Jeremiah told the people of Israel, he said to stand and seek and ask for the old past, and there you will find rest for your souls. I'm telling you this morning, if you're lost and undone, if you're perishing, you have restlessness within your soul. You don't know where to go, don't know where to look, but I'm telling you, you need to look to God for soul salvation, to repent. We read in Joshua 24 and 14 when Joshua and the people of Israel was finally out in the land of Canaan. Joshua was giving them all these warnings there about trying to make sure to serve the living God. And Joshua told them, he said, I'll choose you this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, God doesn't force us to do anything. And there's people out there who teach this evil doctrine, satanic doctrine called Calvinism, who think that when the Spirit, who think that when God calls us, that we have no choice but to submit to the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you this morning, sinner, how great that would be if we could have no choice to submit ourselves to the Spirit of God. But yet God does not get honor and glory out of us acting like we're programmed robots, but yet He gets honor and glory out of us choosing Him over everything else. He gets honor and glory out of that. We read it there in Joshua also, that Joshua went further and he told the people there that they were to serve God in sincerity and in truth. That word sincerity means a freedom from hypocrisy, or it means to disguise ourselves from false, or freedom from disguising ourselves of false pretenses. There's people out there in the world today that don't know why they do it, but they try their very hard to put up a mask and let people know that they're better than what they actually are. But I'm telling you, God knows the very heart of a man, and it don't matter how good you want to put up, how good of a facade you want to put up before us in the building of this church. God knows your heart, and God knows where you exactly stand with Him. Amen. Let me tell you, I remember whenever God had revealed to me from my heart that I was lost and I was undone. My mom and daddy, they even asked me, they said, son, are you lost? I told them, no, I'm not. You don't need to worry about it. Da, 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 da. Let me tell you, God knew my heart. I fooled them, but I did not fool God. Matter of fact, that made my conviction even worse than what I was doing, because I knew that if I would have died at that very moment, that I wouldn't have went in paradise or to say heaven, but I would have woke myself up in a devil's hell. And how terrible that is. Let me tell you, there's people who say, well, I can't afford to go to church. I can't afford to do this and to make room for Jesus because of all this that goes on in the world. Well, let me tell you, sinner friend, you cannot afford to die without Him. You might think you can live fine without Him, but you cannot afford to die without salvation. We read about the faith that Paul was talking about faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You might be looking now. You might be trying your very hardest to just repent. But let me tell you, there needs to be repentance and faith, not just a turning away from our sin of what we are, but yet having faith that God will save us. Or save you. You see, when we read of faith, my very first thought comes to mind about the woman with the issue of blood. And last night, whenever I was studying, this came to my heart about blind Bartimaeus. And of course, we read about blind Bartimaeus. He couldn't see a thing. Matter of fact, I don't even know if that was his name, because Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. We don't even know what his name really is. But we find that he was sitting by the wayside one day, and he heard with all the talk that was going on that Jesus was coming. And you know what? Bartimaeus started crying aloud. Jesus, Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. And the people by the wayside, they kept going. They kept trying their very best to hush his mouth and said, Bartimaeus, you need to stay quiet. But you know what? That just meant that made Bartimaeus to just cry. What does the Bible say? Cry the more great it is. He cried even louder. That Jesus, a man that he has not even seen with his eyes, but yet cried out to him. I wonder what he heard in that conversation. You know what that tells me? Us who are saved by the grace of God, that needs to tell me we need to be careful within our conversation, because people listen. And in every conversation that we have, as what Paul said, to make it be of the gospel, for that is our sole duty. But we read how Bartimaeus went out by the side, and he took his robe, and he went out and tried to find this man. And Jesus caught him there, and he told them there in the book of Mark, I don't want to mess this up, but in Mark chapter 10, we read how Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made you whole. The very exact same words in the 5th chapter of Mark that he told the woman with the issue of blood, that when she went out and tried to just said to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garments, I surely will be made whole. And Jesus said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. What is faith? I know we spoke about it a little bit the last 3 Sundays. What is faith? Faith is a soul dependence upon God and nobody else. Because when it comes to salvation, you depend on God, because you can't depend on anybody else for it. I know I've tried. I've tried trying to depend upon my dad, trying to depend upon my family for soul salvation. But folks, trusting in man will just lead you astray.
for man cannot do a thing. There is nothing special about us, but there is something special about the man who on November the 12th of 2006 reached down and saved my soul. That's the man that people need to look to. Not me, not anybody else. Was it Paul even said that when he preaches that he himself should be a castaway? Why? So that nobody could see him, but yet they could see the cross of Christ. See, there in that altar and that offering that God was telling Moses to tell the people of Israel about, to just willingly give it. It's hard to just willingly give something to God. Why? Because in this flesh, we want to hold on and hang on to this flesh and to all the things and the ways of life and the things that we can see. But Paul said in Romans that if we hope in things that are seen, that's not hope. My hope comes from God. Because if I hope in things that's of this world and that I see physically with my own eyes, that's not hope. But yet with what God did for me, according to the first epistle of Peter, he's not only given me a hope, he's given me a living hope of a promise of what is to come. See, in the psalmist, there, I believe it was David who wrote it in the 66th chapter of Psalm in the 18th verse. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That, and that word regard means love. If I in the depths of my heart love my iniquity, God will not hear me. You have to lay everything aside for God. We read in Isaiah about a king by the name of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah heard some troubling news about what was happening to the land, about how there are people coming and trying to battle the land for possession. And Hezekiah, he could have went to the prophet Isaiah for help. He could have went there. It wouldn't have done him no good, though. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Hezekiah went before the Lord, and he spread it all out there. Folks, I'm telling you this morning, saved or lost, if you come before God, you need to lay it all out there and not hide a single thing, because God knows what is in our hearts. Don't put on a false pretense thinking you're something better, because let me tell you what, you're not. I heard a preacher say one time, if there is a brother who thinks ill of you, he said, don't get mad at him because you're 10 times worse than what he thinks. I see a lot of truth in that. Don't get mad at him. Oh, because in my sinful nature, I'm a whole lot worse than what he actually says that I am. But yet, it is not me. It is Christ. Because of what he did for me when he saved my soul, I am able to lay this down and put on the new man and walk in him. There was a sister one time whenever I pastored a Hope Missionary Baptist Church down there in Manchester, Tennessee. There was a sister, she came before the church and tried to join by credit of a letter. And within that, of course, you know how we all practice. If somebody wants to join the church, they need to tell the time and place. Ain't that right? They need to tell the time and place. So you know what? She came before the church, and she was standing here, and she was telling her experience about when she was up in Ohio and she was seeking the Lord for salvation. She said, you know, I was holding on to my parents. And she said, I then realized it is then that if I needed salvation, I needed to let them go. Not the fact that I had to actually let them go. And this is what she said, and it's ringed in my ears ever since. Not the fact that I had to literally, physically let them go out of my life, but the fact that I had to be willing to let them go because if there was something that I needed, it had to be Christ and not them. So what's standing in your way? If it's mom, dad, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, whatever it is, let them go willingly because there's nowhere else you can look for salvation except through God. Nowhere else. And I don't know why people think that there is anywhere else that we can look to and turn to for salvation, because there is not. The sacrifices and the offerings that we read up in the book of Exodus that they had to give to God in the tabernacle, Christ Himself in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, we read that Christ Himself became an offering for mankind, so therefore they wouldn't have to be any more offering. Why? Because every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. The Lamb who was spotless, the Lamb who was spotless and had no sin about Him, He was the sacrifice for mine and your sins. And you know what else? See, if I had to stand before God alone whenever I cross from this life to the next, if I had to stand before God alone, you know what all He would see? He would see nothing but a worthless sinner. He wouldn't see nothing but a lump of clay that in His heart is a bunch of wickedness and defilement. But yet, when God saved my soul, you know what He will see on that day that I stand before Him? He will see the blood of the precious Lamb applied to my heart. He will see Jesus Himself with me. I heard a preacher preach one time. He titled a message saying, "You're going to need a lawyer." And in that, he said, you know, if you was ever to go to court and not have anybody on your side for anything, you would automatically fail that case. Be against you. And folks, that's how it'll be when we die. If you die in your sin this morning, when you stand before God, there'll be nobody there. Oh, but yet, one day when God reached down and saved my soul, when this preacher preached, he said, that's when He became my lawyer, because that's when we stand before the throne of God. He'll say, "Father, I took His case." And how good that is. Don't look towards anybody else. We read in Isaiah 45, 22, that when Isaiah was prophesying to the people there, he said that the Lord says, "Look unto me and be saved, all ye the earth." Folks, you cannot find it, and I don't know how much I can express it. You cannot find it, and you cannot see it anywhere else, and in anybody else, and in anybody tells you anything other than that, it's a liar. And not just because Micah Barber said it, but that's because it's biblical. It's only in Jesus. What good is it? Last week we preached about a gift of God, how God is presenting a gift to everybody. How dreadful and terrible it would be for this gift that God Himself hath purchased with His own blood, and yet you do not accept His gift. Not saying you accept Jesus, but you do not take His gift. I'm telling you this morning, sinner friend, if you're lost, you're perishing. You need to flee from the wrath of God. You need to flee from eternal damnation. You need to flee from that lake of fire. You need to flee from sin. And yet the only way that you can flee is if you run to the cross of Christ. And you see, on this altar, there is no saving virtue in it. No saving power whatsoever. It's just a bench. Just a bench with a few nails in it. Holding on to other benches. No saving power in it. But you see, as much as we like to say that about this altar, let me tell you, I will fight for the Baptist teaching of the altar practice. Because though this might be a bench, this might be an altar, but yet it is a place that symbolizes that if you come to God, you have to leave it all here. You have to lay it all here. Just like the sacrifices there in the tabernacle when they took those animals before the holiest of holies, they couldn't just pick them back up. They had to lay it all here for God to take. There's a song that says, pick up the broken pieces and bring them to the Lord. You know, I believe what the Bible says, and Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, that godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. There needs to be true godly conviction down within the sinner's hearts. But yet it's not to be repented of. Let me tell you, church, you might think it's a bad thing when I say we need to pray that God sends conviction so hard upon lost sinners that it's hard for them to sleep and eat, and the only thing on their heart is get it right. You might think that's hard. You might say, oh, preacher, that's terrible. But let me tell you what, that's not to be repented of. Because let me tell you, I am so thankful that there were saints of old who prayed that same prayer for me. It wasn't just the fact that I could feel bad about myself and about my condition, but it was the fact that it led me to the one who could take care of it. So, Sinner Fred, if you're troubled, if you're weary, if you're downtrodden, and God has let you know where you stand with Him, I'm telling you this. Lay it all before God. Lay it all out there so God can take care of it. I know that was a mess of a sermon, but that is what the Lord laid on my heart. And I hope and pray somebody got something out of it. Church, I'm not trying to say this to be rude or nothing. Please don't take that. But I hope that we can back up the teaching of caring for the sinners that God has entrusted us with. Amen. And what do you mean by saying that, preacher? Oh, let me tell you this. If they're in your family, if they're in this building, by what God has given us and planted us deep within our hearts, if He's planted that true a spirit of His within you, you know what the fruits of the Spirit is? One of those fruits is love. And it's not fleshly love either. You get jealous over fleshly love, but it's godly love. And in that godly love, it's wanting people to know the exact same feeling that you know. And that's that sweet peace that only comes from God. Now, preacher, that sounds awfully difficult. just forsaking everything and willing to give everything up. Let me tell you what, from this 7-year-old boy, whenever I was kneeling at that altar before God, once again, I was at a physical altar, but the main thing is the altar within your heart. I was at that altar before God, and let me tell you this, oh, it was so hard for me to give up my pride. It was so hard for me to give up everything about me that I love. But let me tell you what, at the end of the day, it was the hardest, easiest thing that I could ever do. Because God, if He sees that offering, He takes it. He takes it. Ain't you glad, saved individual, that one day when we came to God, whether it be at this physical altar, or whether it be at the front porch of the church, whether it be at your bedside, ain't you glad that at that altar that you made within your heart, that God met with you there, and God took your offering and took your sacrifice, not because that you was doing it out of grudgingness, not because you were doing it because you were having to, but you were doing it because you wanted salvation more than anything else. That's what it boils down to. How bad do I want to be saved? I'm done. I hope and pray somebody got something out of it. Like I said, I know that was a mess. Thank you for bearing with me through it. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. Church, let us continue to move with the Spirit of God this morning. Let His will be done. And sinner friend, we're not trying to force anything. I don't want nobody to think that. Oh, but with the love that has been planted deep down within my heart, I want you to experience what I experienced when God saved me. It's not the fact I'm trying to force you, or I'm trying to scare you, but it's the fact. That's what Paul says. Today is the day of salvation. Now's the appointed time. You're not promised to make it out of the church doors. And yet, if we do, what about going home? We're not promised to make it there either. Let me tell you, we got business meeting after service. And let me tell you, that can hold off. If somebody's seeking God for salvation, that can hold off. And let me tell you this, so we already came here expecting for business meeting, and you know how our business meetings go. We already came here expecting to sit down for a little while. Why not come here expecting God to move? And yet just sitting here and tarrying until God moves, however long that might be. We've already came here expecting a long service. Why not put your all within that? Sister Rachel, if y'all have a song.